certainly count it an honor and a privilege to be here with you this afternoon and throughout this series of meetings. And I don't think I've been to a Primitive Baptist meeting in a long time where the Spirit felt to be as high as it is in this meeting. The Lord, if I'm not deceived, brothers and sisters, the Lord has been in this place and is in this place. And I pray that He will continue to be in this place. And I pray that 150 years from now there'll be some old Primitive Baptists that, whether it's on this spot or another spot around here somewhere, that Bethel Church will still be meeting, and they'll still be using those same articles of faith, and they'll still be meeting on Saturday before Third Sunday. Because I hope that the Lord don't allow His people, His grace, to change, so there still won't be anybody with enough nerve to suggest changing that Saturday meeting. Brother Hugh touched on what I've had on my mind. You know, today in the Old Baptist Church, it seems like that we have a lot of concerns for a lot of things that we didn't used to be so concerned about. And I don't mean that. I trust I mean that in a positive way, not in a negative way. And I think it's an honest concern that young parents are concerned about their children. And about their children growing up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and the things that they're going to be exposed to in the world, and what they're going to learn and how they're going to learn it. That's what I want to talk to you a little bit about. I got to looking at learning and how we learn things. And I don't know about y'all, but all my life, the way I've been taught to look at things is that if you just do a little reverse engineering, if you ever heard that term, if you look at how it is and go back to how it started, you're going to find out a lot about what you're looking at. And I'll tell you this too. If you've got something that you hold dear to you and it can't stand the test of reverse engineering, you better leave it alone. Amen. And I'm going to tell you this too, brethren, when it concerns the household of faith and the Church of Jesus Christ, when you reverse engineer anything in it, it's going to go back to God. Yeah, right. And if that's not where it ends up, you ought to leave it alone.
Yeah.
And God hadn't added anything new to His church, so anything that can't stand that test whenever it's looked at. So what I'm going to do is I want to start with where are we today? Today we have lots of concerns about what our children learn and how they're taught. I want to go to first time I did much meditation on this scripture. It seems fashionable today to blame everything on Brother Hewlin, but believe it or not, that's where I first had some thoughts about this text of scripture. We're going to start in the 6th chapter of Deuteronomy. And the Lord is talking here. He says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and all thy mind, with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart." Now, I want to tell you, I think right there, you go to the New Testament, you find the same experience over there, that the gospel is written to God's people. He's speaking to Israel here. He's not speaking to idol worshipers. He's speaking to His people. And He said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shall talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." I want to tell you, there's three ways that you can learn. You can either learn by being taught, you can learn by experience, or you can learn by revelation. Two of those you don't have any choice in. I want to tell you, back when I was a kid, my dad kept telling me, he said, "Son, don't touch that stove, it's hot." And I said, "Okay." And I'd get back over there close to that stove. He said, "Son," I said, "don't touch that stove, it's hot. I'm not going to tell you again." He didn't tell me again. I touched the stove and I got burnt. I found out it was hot. You know, that experience taught me not to touch stoves anymore when it's hot. And I didn't have a choice in that. I learned by experience when I touched that stove. Also, when the Lord reveals something to us, and I want to get to that in a minute. If you'll just bear with me a couple minutes. I'm not going to stay here long. I'm not going to keep y'all very long. But there's a couple of points that I want to make. And today, we as God's children, as God's people, I wish, you know, we always say, "I wish I could do it again. I could do it so much better the second time." Well, I can say that to you today. I was a late bloomer. I was a late comer to the Old Baptist Church, but I got here as quick as I could by the grace of God. I didn't have the opportunity. Brethren, there's some of you young folks today that's got the opportunity, the most golden opportunity that the Lord bestows upon His people is that you have your children in a young age in the Old Baptist Church, that you can raise them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, have them sitting under the drippings of the sanctuary, learning the precious truths of the gospel at an early age, and being able to walk and grow up in those things. You know, sometimes back in the old Bible days, back in the days of David, you know, when he went to Saul over there, Saul looked at him outwardly and he said, "You can't go out there and fight that giant. You're just a lad, and he's been a man of war from his youth. You're but a youth, and he's been a man of war from his youth. You can't go out there and fight him." And David said, "Well, you know what, Saul?" He said, "I've had some experience. I was out minding my father's sheep, and there was a lion and a bear came out there. You know, by the grace of God, I slew both of them. I protected those sheep. And I'll go out here and do the same thing to this uncircumcised Philistine that defies the armies of the living God." I'll tell you what, brethren, well, when you grow up under the blessings and the drippings of the sanctuary in the Old Baptist Church, you're not afraid. You know by experience that the Lord is going to bless and keep His people and guide and direct His church, and you're unafraid of all of these things that are thrown at you from the world. And I'm going to call it the world, because if it's not in accordance with the truths in God's Word, it's from the world, brother. I don't care who that is. So we and he says here that thou shalt teach them diligently. But then remember the brother talked this morning about earnestly contending for the faith. You know, when you do something diligently, I'll tell you what, if you get out and you go to doing any kind of a job, you don't put much effort into it, it's going to take you a long time to get it done. But you give somebody a job to do and you tell them a time when it's got to be done, I'll tell you what, they may mess around in the first part of the day, but the later in the day it gets, the more diligent they're going to become. And he said that to teach them diligently unto thy children. And listen, he said, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house. How many today do you reckon? How many, and I'll say Old Baptists, how many good Old Baptists today do you reckon sit and read the Bible to their children? I'm not worried about the world, because the Bible they're going to read to their children ain't worth having anyway. But Old Baptists sit and read, most of them, I'm telling you, that's sad, but it's true. This is a Textus Receptus right here. But how many, it's sad to say, the greatest opportunity ever given unto man is to be able to raise your children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and we pass on it. And he said, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. You know, can your children, when they're growing up, can they look at you and see that their mama and their daddy is walking in a way that everything that they do is guided by precept and example of what's in God's Word? I'm going to tell you, there's one thing I can say about my old daddy. I knew him a time or two to stand up for what was right. But I tell you what, I never knew him as long, the longest day that I knew my daddy, I never knew him to mistreat anybody. And that's a good report. I don't care who you are. He said to bind these things as trumpets between your eyes, that every step you take here or everything you endeavor to do might be done in a godly way. And brethren, like this weekend, I'll tell you what, the report is good that this place is full. We got chairs in the aisles. But I'll tell you this, the news is bad because all the old Baptists are not here. We ought to have chairs and loudspeakers out in the yard. If we walk with them as frontlets between our every time, at every opportunity that we have to serve the Lord, we ought to be out there trying to do it to the best of our ability. And they shall be as frontlets between eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. And it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and so forth. I'm not going to go any further with that. But this is not something that we just ought to do at church. Whenever we have our young people, brethren, why we shouldn't be worried about how many Bible studies we got on Wednesday night or all of these things, these auxiliary that we need to add them to the church. You know what? There's not one word in this book that puts the responsibility for raising your children on the church.
Yeah.
God gave you the greatest gift that you could ever be given is the blessing of your children and the spiritual leadership and grace to be able to raise them up before the Lord. And then one day when they stand in there before the Lord in His grace and truth, I'll tell you what, there's nothing greater that you can take pride in and the Lord smile on. That you've raised your children and here they are sitting in the old Baptist church singing that sweet tenor or that good clear bass or maybe even offering a prayer or preaching the Word of God. That's the greatest gift that God can give to any people. I want to go to Matthew chapter 11, I believe. A couple places there, and then I want to go over to Galatians a couple places, and then I'll close in Romans chapter 8. Verse 28, chapter 11, verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly at heart, and you shall find rest unto your soul. Remember, we started where we are, and we're going back to where we started. Lord willing. But here we're looking at the experience of the born-again child of God. That's who Christ is talking to. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Brethren, if you're not laboring and heavy laden, the Lord's not talking to you. He's not talking. He said, I came not to bring the righteous, but sinners to repentance. He's saying, giving an invitation to all those that are laboring and trying to do what we've been talking about. Brethren, I'll tell you what, there's been times, and I know that there's times today while when mothers and fathers look at their children and go to their prayer closet and pray that the Lord will give them some guidance as to what they'll... How in the world can I teach my children to avoid all these things that are going on in the world? And I'll tell you, it must be a heavy burden to carry. And even in the household of faith, there are things today that we ought to be going to God and pouring out our hearts. How in the world can we stand today in the face of all of these things that's going on? I'll tell you what, I agree with what Brother Clifford said too. I think we ought to stand fast. We ought to stand firm in the principles and the God is liberty wherewith He's made us free. And we hadn't ought to give up an inch of it. But I don't think we ought to let it destroy us either. But he said, if you've got those burdens, if you've got all of that labor, come unto me, and I'll give you rest. Now, if you want to learn something about the Lord, don't think you're not going to have to put the yoke on. If you're not going to put the yoke on, you're not going to learn anything.
Yeah.
If you're not going to labor in His service, if you're not going to labor trying to walk along in the footsteps of the flock, and I want to tell you, brethren, they're hard footsteps to walk in. They're sunk down so deep from so much traffic over thousands of years, they're hard footprints to walk in because they're well traveled. I'll tell you what, I don't know if you've ever been out on a long hike or a trip, travel somewhere through the backwoods and everything. You walk in a line of people along. I'll tell you what, I've done that in the Army, and the longer the line is, the harder it is on them people in the rear to walk. And I'll tell you, if you're going to put on the yoke of Christ and walk with Him, brethren, you're going to learn something, but if you're not willing to undertake that sweet labor, you're not going to learn nothing about the Lord. I'll tell you what, He did everything when He condescended down to low estate here in this world. You know, it says over in the Hebrew letter, yet learned He obedience by the things that He suffered. Now, the Lord didn't learn anything. He came to understand how hard it is for us and the things that we have to endure here to walk in a way that's acceptable before God. There's so many things in Hebrews chapter 4. We have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmity, but in all points was tempted like as we are, yet without sin. He said, come unto me. If you're laboring and you're heavy laden, I'll give you rest. And take my yoke upon you. And learn of me. For I'm a great king. They can give you all kinds of riches and all the things, you know, like I've heard people say, you know, no, the Lord just gave me a new pickup truck. The Lord gave me this. I'm going to pray that the Lord's going to give me a new cat. Why don't you go ahead and pray for a Mercedes? I'm going to tell you, that's foolish. But He said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly at heart. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. You want a hard yoke? In the Corinthian letter He says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. You want a hard yoke? You ask some of these old timers here that knows a little bit about yokes and oxen. And horses, you get unequally yoked together. I'll tell you what, I've been on the dumb end of a cross buck saw, and I'll tell you, you get somebody that's real strong on the other end, they'll beat you to death. You get two people that can't work together and make that saw work right, one of them's going to suffer. And you want to suffer, you go out there and get yourself unequally yoked together with somebody that these things that we try to preach and teach to our children, brethren, are not precious to, and you're going to suffer. And I'm going to tell you this, when you suffer, them babies are going to suffer.
You bet.
When you suffer, they're going to suffer. He said, my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. I'm going to go a couple more places, then I'll wrap up. You remember Paul? You're talking about learning by experience. In Acts chapter 9, y'all go over and read it for yourself. But I'll tell you what, when the Apostle Paul, who later was the Apostle Paul, when Saul encountered Christ, I'm not going to say, I hear that said all the time, that when Paul met Christ, Paul did not meet Christ. Now I'm going to tell you, Saul had an experience on that road. But he didn't meet Christ. Christ met him.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you, if Saul of Tarsus had known that Christ was going to be at that place at that time, he would have went around by Egypt to keep the government. He was on his way to persecute and bruise the church. But what did Christ, when he experienced that, he said, Lord, who art thou? And he said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Is it hard for thee to kick against the pricks? You know what? You go over there and you look at, you go to studying what a goad is. And a goad is a long instrument with four prongs or five or however many on the end of it, but they're sharp. And they make the oxen go with those, and when they reach out and they prick those oxen with those things to make them go, well, sometimes those oxen are ornery, and they'll kick. Well, I tell you what, when they kick against those pricks, and you're standing 8 feet away, it's not going to hurt me, it might hurt him. And that's what he's telling Paul here. You go ahead and kick, but the harder you kick, the more it's going to hurt. Because I'm fixing to teach you something, and you're going to learn it whether you want to or not. And when I get through with you, Brother Paul, you are never going to forget it.
Yeah, that's right.
And you know, he went down there to Ananias' house. And when Ananias told him, he said that was Jesus that you met. That was Jesus that you met. And he gave Paul that precious teaching. How you just encountered Jesus, and immediately the scales fell from his eyes, and he could see. And I'm going to tell you, brethren, when you encounter Jesus and he teaches you something, you're going to be able to see things that you haven't ever seen before. And not only that, you're going to be able to see them in a way that you've never seen them before. I want to go to Galatians chapter 1. And this still concerning Paul. But we also learn things not only by experience, we learn by revelation. And that's the sweetest thing. I want to, a couple of points I want to close with. But Paul here in Galatians chapter 1, "For ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers." But now listen, now this word "but," you're talking about the "but" in Ephesians chapter 2, "but God who is rich in mercy."
Yeah.
He said, "I was doing those things, I was persecuting the church beyond measure," and here he says, "and I profited above many my equals in the Jews' religion." He was even making a profit. He was profiting from destroying the church and wreaking havoc in the church of Christ. But when it pleased God. When it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, and to reveal. Now, somebody didn't come down and teach Brother Paul that. But the point I want to make, God revealed it to him, and I want you to see what happened when God did reveal it to him. When he called me by his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I confer not with flesh and blood, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. Brethren, whenever the Lord revealed himself to the Apostle Paul, he didn't run off to find some preacher and said, "Well, you tell me what the Lord just told me this, now you explain it to me." Brethren, I'm going to tell you, when the Lord reveals himself to his children, the preacher comes along a lot later to tell them about what that experience they had, but they can't tell you how to have the experience. God chose to reveal his son in me, and he called me by his grace. He said, "Immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood." And I'm going to tell you this, when the Lord reveals himself in you by his grace, and I don't care whether you're male or female, you're 6 or 60, or 10 or 100, when the Lord reveals himself in you, that you want to begin to seek after the things that maybe not necessarily seek after the things of God, but you're going to begin to know about God. Now you say, take the scripture and prove that. I'll go to Ephesians chapter 4. You put off the old man, which is corrupt with the deceitful lust, and put on the new man, which after God has created in the knowledge of Him that created. So there's, we're all born of the Spirit of God with the knowledge of who God is. We know who our Father is. We don't know a lot about Him, but we know who He is. And we can rejoice sometimes together when we're able, like we've been in this meeting, to have some good, humble, God-called Primitive Baptist preachers to stand up here and tell us about God and who He is and the things that He's done for us. And I want to go to chapter 4. And then I want to close in Romans chapter 8. Now, I know y'all can, most of y'all can quote most of this, maybe all of it. Beginning with verse 4. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoptions of sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Now you might say, well, how in the world does that apply to what you're talking about? Do you know that that word Abba, before Father, that's like saying, my Father. And do you know you can't if you're in captivity, you can't give that. It's improper to say that to the one that you're indebted to. In other words, it has to be your Father. And here sent forth in the Galatian letter, He sent forth the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Brethren, when we have that experience in Christ and He sent forth into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father, we know who God is. But there's even something more precious than that. We know that Christ came out from His Father. He came down into the world. He said, I came down into the world not to do my own will, but to do the will of the Father which sent me. So He knows who His Father is, and He sent forth that Spirit of His Son into our heart, crying, Abba, Father. But there's something even better yet. If you go to Romans chapter 8, and I believe it's verse 15, you're going to find recorded there these words. I'm going to begin in verse 12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again unto fear, but ye have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry. Oh, it's a pleasant experience when we can feel the very presence of our Savior with us, crying out, Abba, Father, and looking towards the deity of His Father in heaven. But brethren, when we feel the sweet experience of adoption that the Lord has reached down and embraced us and given us the adoption of sons unto Himself, that we within ourselves can look up unto Him with arms of faith stretched out and cry unto Him, Abba, Father, my Father. You know what? He has never, one time, failed to meet His obligations to His children. Not one. He's never failed to give one little child of God the presence of His Spirit to look out and say, Father, my Father. He's never failed one time to furnish them with everything that they need to worship Him. And we look here today, that's why I say it's the most precious thing, the precious, most precious gift that we have given unto us, the greatest opportunity that we have. But He's, we look here today and we see such a small group. Am I ashamed of that? Absolutely not. I praise God if there was 15 or 20 here in the name of God that had that same the instructions within them, if they felt to be children of God because they experienced the unworthiness of themselves, that God looked down upon them and chose them. I'll tell you, there's some that say that you're going to be adopted at some point in time. I'll tell you, if you hadn't been adopted already, you're never going to be. You're going to die orphans if you hadn't been adopted. And those that have been adopted, all of the elect family of God that's been that was chosen in Christ, redeemed in Him, and received the adoption of sons, brethren, He's given us the instruction. You know, we send all these kids today to college so they can go to a place of higher learning and get instruction, so one day they can turn around and teach somebody else coming after them. Well, I'll tell you what. The Lord has taught His people. He's given them everything that they need to go out and take their children and hold them in their arms and nurture them and to raise them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And I'll tell you what, brethren, all our prayer can be is that we'd do just a little bit of the job that our God has done for us. He's never failed once. And I just hope that I can keep my failures down to a minimum, because I fail every day at something. But I'll tell you this, there's going to come a day when I'm not going to fail anymore. I'm going to be up there with my Lord, and I'm going to be beside Him and know Him as He is, and I'm going to be like Him. And that's like Brother Mark preached so wonderfully earlier. I'll tell you, whenever Brother Mark was just about to quit, I was ready to sign up and go right then. And there's going to come a time when we're going to know even as we're known. We're not going to have questions. Today we have an abundance of them. And I'll tell you what, like Brother Mark said also, we had a communion service one time. You know, all these little kids were sitting there on the pews, and he said, you know, he said, we're here to wash one another's feet, partake of this wine. And he said, I look around at all these little kids here, and they don't understand what we're doing. And so I'll tell you what, every one of them see what we're doing.
Right.
And when we get done here, they're going to see something that they're not going to forget. And I'll tell you what, I hope that one thing that they don't forget is not me doing something I have not to do. God bless you and keep you. My prayer for Christ's sake.
God bless you.